ันกาลวาวาไหเทจสวินาวะทิตามัสตมะวิเวชาวาไหOm Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sarigaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare HareHare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
What about this?
Yeah, I removed it
now. No, it has to be
fully.
Okay, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates.Having told of his Swarup, the Lord now speaks of how he begins the creation. Gunata means from Maya, the totality of all matter. The universe, Guna Vigraha, came into existence. Sorry? We didn't?
No.
Oh, maybe not.How do we go? No, he came up to. Did. Oh, footnote 13, I think. Okay, yeah, I think we got up to footnote 13. Before the creation of this cosmic manifestation, I alone existed with my specific potencies. Oh, specific spiritual potencies, 14. According to Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, this is describing the Lord's form according to Bhakti Yoga.Consciousness was then unmanifested, just as one's consciousness is unmanifested during the time of sleep. Footnote 15. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur translates this sentence as follows. I am also pure consciousness, imperceptible to the senses, quiet as if sleeping and all-pervading. He further explains that this describes the Lord's form according to Jnana Yoga.I am the reservoir of unlimited potency.And therefore I am known as unlimited or all-pervading. From my material energy, the cosmic manifestation appeared within me, and in this universal manifestation appeared the chief being, Lord Brahma, who is your source and is not born of a material mother. I have to say born of another mother.
Yeah.
Okay, so we see is that he's showing these different perspectives that are there.Is that there's the perspective of him as a person, how he's being. Then there's him as his consciousness and how he's all-pervading and all that. So he, the person, is all-pervading, but the all-pervading aspect is Brahman. Right? Does that make sense? But he's aware because it's him. Does that make sense? So for us, we may think like that and then go into other things, but he exists like that and exists like they're all simultaneously existing. Right?That makes sense. Yeah. So, therefore, he's explaining it according to these different methods of approach, right? Because that was the problem we were saying before, is that some, you know, say there's the different processes are contradictory. So you have the bhakti problem, the personal and the impersonal. So here he's showing bhakti and jnana.Because they both are part of the same. When we read it, we'll just think it's one thing. So only because the acharya mentions...Then we understand this is something different.
That's not right. Actually, I don't understand the three notes are like karma yoga, jnana yoga, and bhakti yoga.
Okay. The ritualistic ceremonies and sacrifices, when properly conducted, are my various limbs of my body. The unseen good fortune proceeding from pious or spiritual activities constitutes my mind. And the demigods who execute my orders in various departments are my life and soul.So that means how he's manifest in the universe as karma, right? Because we were saying before, he mentioned before, is that everyone is worshiping him. They just don't see that they're worshiping him, right? They see that they're worshiping the demigods or the Brahman or, you understand, or the universal form or...
Yes, yes.
So they're not seeing that he is behind all of this, and it's his potencies that make everything function. So that form of it, that's the form according to Karma Yoga. Okay. Right? Then when it's him, I exist with my specific spiritual potencies. That's then Bhakti Yoga.
As a person.
Yes. Then he gets into consciousness, well then unmanifest, just as one's consciousness unmanifests during the time of sleep. Right? So therefore the consciousness of the living entities in that is unmanifest. He's conscious, but no one else is. Right, so that's the jnana. So that's what we're thinking, is everything's unmet. Then when we become conscious, that's when Maya begins. And the point is, yes, when Maya starts, that's when the living entities become conscious. But it's not that their consciousness is caused by Maya. Right, they're conscious living entities. They existed eternally as separate individual living entities. But the jnanis will think that that's the beginning. So actually, they're created from the material energy. So it's an illusion.
And material energy is created by them.
Yes, and material energy is created by them. So technically, then nothing exists. So then, you know, what are they worried about? What is that? What was that one before? Just reveals himself as he likes. Ah, here it is. They are forever moo hoo hoo. Bewildered. You know, so then, you know, the Maya body's going on talking about moo hoo.
Yeah, so then.
Jnana is for the jnanis, and on jnana means on the path of jnana or liberation.
Yeah.
They're looking at unmanifest consciousness. Just there's consciousness, but there's nothing specific about it. There's only conscious, but there's nothing, because when you have specific, then that means if there's specifications, then it must be Maya, and they don't know about spiritual variety. That's why when it says he's there with the specific spiritual potencies, that's Bhagavan. That's the transcendental personal. And then jnana means that he's all-pervading, you know, all-knowing, you know, all these impersonal qualities. Right? If you say creator, maintainer, destroyer, then you're talking about Paramatma. But if you just say, here, I am the reservoir, unlimited potency, unlimited, all-pervading, like that. So that, does that make sense?
Yes.
So those aspects then describe that. So he is all these. But behind that is the person. That's what they don't catch. So they think that bhakti is just an anga of the Vedic systems. Rather than, no, it is the process. These others are angas. And they only find their completeness in bhakti. So, yes.
No,
we are the consciousness that pervades our body. That's us. Everything else, you know, what's for lunch, that's not us.
Seems like very much us.
Yeah, no, the consciousness, that's us. But because we identify with the body, then we're only conscious to the degree that the mind and senses can be conscious. Otherwise, the soul is actually a liberated entity that is beyond the material, so it's not restricted by material mind, intelligence, and ego, and senses. Right? But because we identify with the body, we are only able to do what our conditioning is. You know, there's always the thought to go beyond what, you know, was our basic, you know, principle.
or something, you know, I, you know, come from a poor family, I can go beyond that, become rich, or, you know, or downtrodden and come up on the top, or, you know, whatever it is, the, you know, the ideals, the modern, these material ideals. But the point is that's true in that the soul is beyond the conditioned capacity. But because we identify with it, we can't function beyond it. Like Prabhupada mentions, Narad Muni can fly in space because he doesn't think, you know, I can't. We're thinking we have to be on the ground here. And even if we get an ideal in that, we go up on the roof, then, you know, still...
somewhere in the back of the head.
Yeah, they're in the back of the head. Yeah, so therefore you do not see, what's this, Francis of Assisi actually flying. You know, there's an ideal there, and he wants to be free like a bird, but he actually ends up not flying. Because otherwise, if he flew off, then definitely, then they should have, you know, how you say, canonized that guy, right?
That would have meant something.
Yeah, but you know, they, you know, he didn't fly. They still canonized him. So you know, that's okay. You understand? So that's the thing: is that we're limited because we identify with the conditioning. That's why we get the particular body. If we think I can fly, we end up as a bird.
You know, then
yeah, you know, then you can't drive your car. So, you know, it's just...
The point is, what did they think?
I don't know, maybe... similar to pandas, just cuteness or something. You know. Penguins.
Penguins, oh.
Yeah, they're a bird that can't fly, but they can swim.
So,
yeah, they're always wearing the tuxedos. Yeah, they don't have to worry about, you know, what am I going to wear tonight? You know, they always look good.
Always look good. That's
yeah.
Why they walk.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, who knows? The combinations, because as you mentioned, it's... Atmatattva once, he was at somebody's personal library, you know, all Sanskrit manuscripts and like that. And they showed him a manuscript that the whole manuscript just talked what particular proportion of the modes created all the different kinds of life. It means that nose is like this, is this combination. You make it longer, you add these to it. You do this, it showed how it mechanically worked. You know, so that means there was huge, you know, the amount of scriptures that we know of now is very little compared to what was there. So there wasn't anything that couldn't be described. It was just a matter of if anybody knew it. It was there. You know. Does that make sense? So there's a little glimmer here and there. You know, okay, you like running around, you know, with no clothes on, then you become trees, you know. And so many trees up in the northern... you know, territories like that, because they're famous for running around with no clothes on, so there you have it. You know, that tree, doesn't that look like grandma? Yeah, so, yeah. Yeah, so. Yeah. Is that right? So he's pointing out that all three of these, they don't have a problem. He is all pervading. But who's behind? He is the person. He's there with his potencies. Then with that he pervades. Yes. Then, you know, then from that is manifest the second day. So originally there's bhakti. Then the next stage you have the jnana because of the Vasudeva Sattva and all that. Yes. Then the next stage is you have karma. So all three are there. Yes. Yes. You know, does that make sense? You know, and then you have the Buddhist when all the living entities are absorbed back in Karana Dakshaya Vishnu. So that's like mu, you know, it's just nothing. You know, they're just void. Then they come out during the primary creation in the glands. Then that's Vasudeva Sattva. So now that's jnana.
Yes.
Then Brahma does his creation, and then bang, they're back here.
So we go from mu to muhu.
Mu to muhu to boohoo. Yeah, like that. So it's a process. And then from boohoo, they're happy to go back to mu. Right? You know what I'm saying? But that cycle keeps going. What's beyond that? That's bhakti. So that's the thing that's beyond. So that's what reconciles all. Otherwise, how are these things that are totally separate, how are they reconciled? So that's the thing, is that's because it's the Lord. He's there with all his spiritual potencies. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So, having told, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, having told of his sarup, the Lord now speaks of how he begins the creation. Gunata means from Maya, the totality of all manner, the universe, Guna Vigraha, came into existence. Then, within the universe, Brahma and you took birth. Brahma and you means Daksha took birth. Right? So, therefore, he is the sarup, his transcendental position before, right? And then how then he begins, so then the material energy glances on that expands. Then you have the Vasudeva Sattva, the totality of all matter, you know, then is all there, but it's still in the Vasudeva position. Mm-hmm. So that's the position that the jnanis are looking for, right? Because it's unspecific and all that. You know, just matter is there, it has all that, it's all impersonal. You know, conscious, you know, like this. Does that make sense? Yeah. So the consciousness is there. The living entities are conscious. Yeah. Right. Then you have, then you bring the how you say, the universe comes into existence. Then within the universe, then Brahma and Prajapatis, and then from the Prajapatis, then we're going to get everything else. Right. So the Prajapatis are then, you know, how you say, the stars of this show. Right, yeah. Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. When the chief Lord of the universe, Lord Brahma, Swayambhu, having been inspired by my energy, was attempting to create, he thought himself incapable. Therefore, I gave him advice. And in accordance with my instructions, he underwent extreme difficulty, extremely difficult austerities. Because of these austerities, the great Lord Brahma was able to create 9 personalities, including you, to help him in the functions of creation, 49-50. Srila Prabhupada comments, nothing is possible without tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. Right? So everything that's there is come from tapasya. There's this idea that, oh, we'll be happy when we don't have to do any tapasya. Right? It'll just happen. It'll just come. And in what situation do we actually get something like that? Because there is a situation kind of like that. That's there. Yeah, you know, supposedly you're happy and you're doing nothing and you're actually, you know, nothing's going on. But also it's just when you're a child. You know, you just exist and your parents take care of everything and, you know. So you don't have to, so, does that make sense? Therefore, it's seen as an ideal. But actually, everything comes from austerity. So that's why it says perform your duties, because that's the austerity. So it's not that I did this mechanical work, that's why I got. No, it's because you performed the austerity, that's why you got. Right? Because if it depended upon simply doing exactly the thing according to the laws, then you wouldn't have the ideal of the American maverick, who just kind of does whatever comes into his mind at the time, totally untrained, outperforms people who are, you know, been trained for years, and, you know, like this, just this, you know, fat, you know, middle-aged guy, you know, that, you know, has trouble mowing his lawn, then suddenly, you understand? So that's the whole point, then where is that coming from? It's coming from karma. Otherwise, where does it come from? Doesn't come from skill, doesn't come from knowledge, right? And if just, you know, pure unalloyed false ego is enough, then, you know, yes, then that would be mentioned in the Shastras. But it's not. So therefore, it has to be, it's come from work, from austerity. So it's not just the work, because we take it that, oh, I'm performing my duties, it's the work. No, you're performing your duties, it's the austerity of performing your duties. Mm-hmm. That's what gets you the results. So we have to know where it's coming from. Right? Yes. Because otherwise before is I'm doing the work, I'm engaging in Krishna's service. This work is my duties. No. The mentality, that field, that's your duty. Then you naturally, you have to make endeavor. So you make endeavor in that area.
Is that because technically Paramatma is doing the work? like that.
The material energy is doing the work. He's just authorized.
Yeah.
But she, that's why it's called the material cause. Because she actually transforms it. We're the operational because we're there and, you know, sitting there and pushing the button and kind of waiting and, you know, going over and getting the butter tray and getting a knife and then the toast pops up and then we butter the bread, right? And that was serious management. I think most people don't do that. When the butter and toast pops up, then they start looking for the butter and find us in the refrigerator. Like that. That first scenario was, you know, that's something out of them. Heavenly Planets. Yeah. <that's>, yeah, I always remember my mother would take out the butter a few hours before, and I went, what's the big deal? It is a big deal, you know. So for me, just butter the bread, it works quite easily. But she hadn't taken it out, it doesn't work. You know, it just takes a few years to figure that out when you're here in India and no one's taking it out and it's frozen. And even here, they love to keep it in the freezer. But, you know, so that's even more. Then you have the, what do you call it? The brahmachari solution. You just take the butter itself without the knife and just rub it on the toast. Like that.
Yes.
And then the advantage is no one else wants to use it, so you have a whole stick of butter to yourself. So it does have its advantages.
Except for Ekadashi.
Yes, yes. That's when then it comes around and gets you.
Yes. That's true.
Unless you have a strict policy of only using one side of the butter.
The Ekadashi side.
The Ekadashi side and not the Ekadashi side. Yes, but generally brahmacharis aren't that organized.
The Ekadashi is only once in 2 weeks.
Ah, no, but the point is you just run out of butter just before, so then the night before is when you get out the new butter, and then the next day is the Ekadashi.
Yes, except for
yeah, yeah. Oh, but then you have another, you know, how you say stick of butter. Now that's, yeah, that means also management. Yeah. So. Yeah. Therefore, in Bengal, they solved the problem with mustard oil. That's true. On the Mediterranean, they don't use butter on their bread. They only use olive oil.
Yes.
So that also solves the problem.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes. Okay. Okay. Nothing is possible without tapasya. So actually, it's the tapasya.
Yeah.
That's the part that devotees don't like.
Yes.
You know, doing the work, okay. Mm. But it's the tapasya of doing what's your work to the standard that you're supposed to do it. That's the point. No, I want to do this one. I feel, and when I do that one, it's like this. So I'm just being practical. Right? But that's the actual tapasya. Lord Brahma, however, was empowered to create this entire universe because of his austerities. So he did austerities, he had the potency. The more we engage in austerities, the more we become powerful by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, Rishabhdev advised his sons, Tapo Divyam Putraka Yena Sattvam Sudye. One should engage in penance and austerity to attain the divine position of devotional service. By such activity, one's heart is purified. Right? Because we're trying to replace, because we're thinking, oh, I do the tapasya, it removes the impurities. So, yes, that part of the tapasya will. But how does the heart actually become purified? By devotional service. So, therefore, what is the aspect of the tapasya that does that? Right? That is being done for Krishna. Right? Therefore, we see is the materialists, the pious materialists, they're following the tapasya, and they're purifying themselves. So they're elevating themselves to the heavenly planets, to the Brahman, because of that. But they're not getting devotional service because they're not doing it for Krishna. Well, the devotees then are doing it to please Krishna. And then along with that, it does the other part. The heart is purified. So it's not a separate endeavor. Right? It's simply you do the austerity of what's recommended in Shastra's duties. Mm. That's the austerity. Mm. Right? Does that make sense? And then we may, okay, I don't mind doing certain things at certain times of the year. Right? Taking a cold shower in the summer and, it's cool, okay? It's okay. Right? You know, you don't even have to put on the hot water in the morning. So it's warm enough. Right? You know? Right? During the day, you may avoid taking a cold shower because it's hotter than in the winter when you put on the hot water. But that's because they put them in containers on the roof, not knowing how to put them in containers on the roof.
That's a way to put them in the containers on the roof without the water heating up.
Yes.
They haven't figured that out yet.
Like in Vrindavan, they built the water tank, then there's a gap, and then they have another frame around the whole tank. You know, holes out so that the heat hits those and then goes out through there and doesn't get to the water tank.
Yeah.
And then it's, you know, how you say, it's, you reduce it from being hot enough to cook your, make your tea in to, down to, you know, how you say, you don't become a human lobster.
Which is good.
Yeah, which is good. So I'm saying if you do, then you... Here we just buy the plastic ones, stick them on the roof, and then hurry ball. Okay. So, does that make sense? So, by such activity, the heart's purified, because only devotional service can actually purify the heart. One, it will remove the reactions and all that, but it won't actually purify the heart. So, you remove the sin, it actually takes you up. But because it hasn't changed the heart, you'll go back down again. That's why samsara goes around and around. Yeah. But bhakti purifies the heart. That's why you go up, don't come down. Yeah. Right? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Srimad Bhagavatam 551. In our material existence, we are impure, and therefore we cannot do anything wonderful. But if we purify our existence by tapasya, we can do wonderful things by the grace of the Lord. Therefore, tapasya is very important, as stressed in this verse. Even the materialists, they have to do tapasya to get something. Right? The people have worked very hard and all that, then you see they get some results. But for us, it's devotional service that gets the results, so the results are much greater.
Now you can say that to do constantly devotional service is tapasya.
Yes, like that. Constantly be engaged in devotional service, yes. And we can only engage if it's actually according to what's our, you know, what's proper for us. You know, because body, mind, and words have to be engaged. And if we're doing something that's not our nature, we can't do that all the time. Short times, yes, but not consistently. So that's the Madhyama platform is, what is your nature? Engage that in the Lord's service. They don't have any problem. Right? It's more of a neophyte platform where, you know, we're not the body and we do anything we like. Like that. But for the Madhyamas, I'm not this body, but I have the body to work with, so hey. You know, it's like the cook going to the kitchen, and there's potatoes. He cooks potatoes. But someone else comes to the kitchen, oh, only potatoes, all this and that, and they work very hard to try to get something else, and they find out, you know, that there's only going to be potatoes. So he says, you know, you go to the market at 11, there's only potatoes.
Oh, man.
So. Right? Okay. The Supreme Personality of Godhead continued. O my dear son Daksha, Prajapati Panchajana has a daughter named Asikni, whom I offer to you so that you may accept her as your wife. Now unite in sexual life as man and woman, and in this way, by sexual intercourse, you'll be able to beget hundreds of children in the womb of this girl to increase the population. Right, because Brahma does this with same instructions, does it with his mind, like that. But he's the next generation, he's the Prajapati, right? And so then Brahma just tells them to expand the universe. Now he's Daksha, and so he's very expert in this field. So naturally, then being given this instruction, he follows this very nicely, and so that will be his connect, his service. Does that make sense? It's not. I'm not sure if he's in charge of Karmakanda. He's just one well situated in it. But we see it, so there's the devotional aspect, then it'll become Karma Yoga. You know, but he very much appreciates the form of of karma.
Yes.
You know, so he takes that a little stronger than most would.
Really,
yeah, means at least previous manifestation. This one we'll have to see. This one appears that he is a little bit softened, because we don't see him, you know, as the son of Brahma offering any prayers like this at all. In fact, I think he didn't even invite, you know, well, if Shiva definitely didn't come, Brahma didn't come, but I'm not even sure if he invited Vishnu.
No, I don't know. He didn't come.
He didn't come. But he thinks he can do the yagya anyway. So, very difference in mentality. Right? So now it's yes. So now it's like, you know, the grandfather has become devotional. The sons, the fathers are definitely devotional. And so now he's taken on that kind of move. You know, it takes a little. So therefore, that's Krishna's arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now you had Daksha doing a good job, but wrong attitude. So now then, re-manifestation of Daksha, same job, you know, better attitude.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. A long time. What do we say? Four manus. Because, I mean, this is in the first manvantar, Swayambhuva manvantar, but it's not until Chakshusha, who's the sixth. Right, yeah, so five manvantars. So five manvantars that he's doing tapasya. So that's serious. Yeah, very solid.
That's
Who knows? Like that, because it's not necessarily that everybody is following very strictly the scripture. Because if he's only going to show his hand, why would Kunti be worried? Yes, script, not the scriptures. Yeah. Yes, slight difference. It sounds better. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur elaborates, you, having the quality of sex life between man and woman, will produce population in her. Right? So that's his quality. Right? Everybody has a particular quality. So his quality is that of sex life. Right? We see the first one to be involved with Swayambhuva, but that's not his quality. His quality is to guide mankind. Right? Train mankind in human duties and devotional service, right? But Prajapati Daksha, his thing, he is basically, you know, they say the quality of just what's the sex life between man and woman, right? So that means they get progeny, right? Man, man, woman, woman. That he's not that.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, like that. So he's. That's why it says here between man and woman. Yeah, yeah. Okay, and will produce population in her. Though the Lord mercifully showed Daksha his form after Daksha had praised him and had given him instructions, he cast Daksha onto the path of karma and material enjoyment and not into the ocean, sweet ocean of prema. Because that wasn't why he was approaching the Lord. So that's why we see, you know, he's very nicely fixed in karma. But now we see he's properly turning to the Lord, while previously he wasn't so much. That is because the influence of Daksha's offense to his great devotee Shiva had not been completely removed. Right? And this is after five manvantaras of tapasya. So that's the point, is only bhakti can remove. Offenses in devotional service can only be removed by offense by devotional service. Right? We think, oh, something else will do it. No, only devotional service has the power to remove.
Why does it say to his great devotee Shiva?
he's talking about Vishnu.
Yeah, there's a lot of problems, not that
bad. Yeah. So because you know he changes position.
Yeah.
So it's about that how the voice is going, then you tell what he's doing.
Of course.
Like that. In the next chapter, Sukadev says that Daksha, impelled by the illusory energy of Lord Vishnu, begot 10,000 sons in the womb of Asikni. Srimad Bhagavatam 10.5.1. Oh, is this where they're going to be? Nard Muni's going to preach?
Oh.
He never, his problems never end, do they, right? Okay, so that's why they said big hundreds of children. Okay, that like that. Okay. 10,000, right? Not bad. Because of his offense, he also criticizes Narada. Right? So first one Mahajan, now the next. Right? That's, you know, it's like, and left out Brahma, you know, another Mahajan. You know, he's got problems. One should not say, the Lord also put Kardama into material enjoyment. The Lord gave Kardama limited enjoyment on seeing slight desire in him, but did not give unlimited enjoyment. Because there was desire in Kardama, and so he gave limited enjoyment. Right? It's not unlimited, but to Daksha, it seems he's getting more unlimited. Like that. You know, I mean, whatever it is within the material world. But the point is that because the one is actually interested in devotional service. So it's, I have some material desire, I want to finish that up by engaging it in the Lord's service. While Daksha is that he's praying to the Lord to be able to perform these functions, not as much as he's seeing them as devotional service, as just his nature. That's why he says he has the quality of sex life between man and woman. That's his nature. Right? While for Kardama, his nature was pure devotion. Just he saw that there was still something within the heart. So in other words, if that wasn't there in the heart, as a brahmachari, he would have just continued and qualified himself. But he saw there was something, so he decided to get married, go through everything properly, connect everything to Lord, and then set work.
Tvam cha samyag anushtaya Nidesham ma usattama. Mayi tirti kritsa shesha kriyarto mam prapatsyase.
Offering my instructions, obeying my instructions, offer the results of your actions to me. Becoming pure, finally you will attain me. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:21-30. Right? So following his instructions, offer results of actions to me. He doesn't say this to Daksha. He just says, because of your tapasya, because of this and that, you know, he's pleased. Because he's doing what he's supposed to be doing anyway. But he's not necessarily doing it to please Krishna. He's doing it because that's his job. And he's pious, so he wants to fit in. Because they're the next down, basically, from Brahma, then the great sages and Prajapatis. You know, so these are your highest living entities, right? So he's pious and wants to do the right thing, but it's not necessarily that he's interested actually in devotion, right? So being that elevated, they know that there's the Supreme Lord in his position, but it's not necessarily that the devotion to him is their real focus, right? Does that make sense?
Kardama also prayed for bhakti. Naitad batadisha padam tavepshitam yanma yaya nas tanushe bhuta shukshmam anugrahas yat svapi yarha mayaya lasat tulasya bhagavan vilakshita.
O Lord, I offer repeated respects to you, who destroy the desire to enjoy by giving realization of your sweetness. Right? So you give up the lower from the higher. So the point is material happiness is always misery. Though, you know, we consider some misery better than other miseries. Right? So, but when we
are able to appreciate Krishna's sweetness, that's what then we're able to give up the material. That's the point.
Yes.
You can give up one material thing for a higher material thing. But actually to give up material means it's only by the sweetness of bhakti. So that's the whole, when one sees that, then that's scarce. So by giving him devotional service and working in that way, then he starts to see is actually where the real taste is.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't mean that the duties necessarily change. It means your whole motive behind it changes. Right? Until eventually then you see Kardama moved on from Grihastha life. Right? Does that make sense? Yes.
Doctor, it's a position.
I would expect so.
And he lives in Mano?
No, he lives a life of Brahma.
Because how many living entities do we need? I always thought that in the beginning, he begets them and then.
And then there's a destruction, and then you need more again.
So every day. Every day of Brahma.
At least you have to start somewhere and then it goes down. It means it's not that they necessarily have to produce, but at least they have to start. So, you know, that he's doing here, that this is already Chakshusha Manu, so it appears that population is required. Yes. Okay. I offer repeated respects to you who destroy the desire to enjoy by giving realization of your sweetness and who cover us with the results of karma through the inspiration of your material maya, who give material benedictions to low persons such as me and whose lotus feet are worthy of worship. Right, so he frees people from material by the sweetness. He covers them by, you know, that interest and all that in the results of their karma. They get results from their work and they get distracted by that. And what is it? Then he gives material benedictions for those who, you know, he's saying, such as me, who are asking for them. Like that. And his lotus feet are worthy of worship. So he's the one that's worthy of worship, not anybody else. The worshipable aspect of anybody else is due to their connection to the Lord. Right? So therefore, there's no need to worship anyone but the Lord. Right? You don't have to worship the demigods or, you know, how you say, the forest fairies or, you know, the elementals or...
Steve Jobs.
Yeah, or Steve Jobs. Yeah, any of them. Does that make sense? Yeah. Or... Elvis.
Just a little bit?
That's a tough one.
Yeah, that's the last snare of mine.
Yes. If you find yourself in Vegas at the little white church getting married by Elvis, that is the last snare of mine. Yes. So that's Srimad Bhagavatam 3.21.20. All the devotees like Dhruva, though having material desires, desired bhakti. But Daksha did not desire bhakti. Therefore, the Lord did not give him bhakti. This is the nature of having some trace of offense.
Yes.
Right, because of the offense, he's not interested.
Yes.
Right. Yes.
So
therefore, that's why, you know, this element of born again is really overrated. So even if that is, still you're not sure what's going to go on. Right. So yeah. So yes. But the point is, he's done austerities. He's taken another birth, but there's a trace. So that just means he's pious now. He goes on. He does not have a goat head, you know.
He has another wife.
You know, so she's not scarred by the thought of the goat head, you know, like that. You know, every morning she wakes up and looks, is it a goat head or is it not, you know. Yeah, so he's saved from all that. But the point is that he's not interested in bhakti. He understands that the Lord is the supreme authority, and he goes to the Lord for, how do you say? for getting whatever benedictions are required, because he knows he's the only one that can give. Right? He knows the process. But he's not asking for bhakti. He's only asking that he can perform his duties. So he's offering his respects to the Lord, to please the Lord, to be able to just do his duties.
So bhakti nishtha karma?
Basically, bhakti nishtha karma. What we see is that with kardama, it's taken, that's karma nishtha bhakti. Or dhruva, that's karma nishtha bhakti. Therefore, they got devotional service.
But still there's an improvement since the last installment of...
Yes. But even though there's an improvement, what is the weakness in this improvement?
The weakness is he's getting what he wants, so he doesn't have, he's not looking.
No, but I'm saying, you say he's the new improved daksha.
Yeah.
Right? But what holds him back?
The past.
The past, yeah. The reactions from the past. So that's why it said Vaishnava Aparad you want to avoid, because it gets right in the way.
Even though he's born again.
Yeah, so that doesn't matter. You know. Maybe he tried offering the Hamsuguya prayers with a guitar, maybe he would have gotten a different result, but...
We will never know.
No, we will never know. Yes? Yes, of course. That's the standard. That's the standard. Yes. Main point is being engaged in devotional service is the only way we're going to be freed from offenses in devotional service. Like, offensive chanting is only cleared by continued devotional service. Right? There's nothing else that will clear. Yes.
But offense will keep you from devotional service.
That's what happened. So he was able to do the tapasyas.
But I'm saying that the only way we can clear ourselves is by keep going in devotional service. But the taste will go.
But you have to keep yourself in the... Then you have to use intelligence. You have to keep yourself in the association of devotees. And also, if you understand what's wrong and all that, and there's remorse on that, then when stress become purified. So. Srila Prabhupada adds, indulgence in sense enjoyment through sexual intercourse is not allowed by the Vedic principles. In this, because in other words, it's not about sense enjoyment. This is the difficulty. It means this area. You know, now it's sixth canto, then we can, you know, just deal with it a bit.
Yeah.
You know, but we have to be able to really deal with it before we get to tenth.
Yeah.
Right? But the whole point is that the activity of sex life, that's not what's the sense enjoyment. This is what's not understood. It's that that's used for sense, just like eating. You're honoring prasad, it's honoring prasad. The senses are there, they're engaged, you get the taste. But it's not about the taste. When it becomes about the taste only, that's sense gratification. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So therefore, the sexual activity, it itself is not inherently sense gratification. It's the method of, you know, immediately taking it to this point where we're talking about daksha, what produces children. Does that make sense? So therefore, then that's part of the process of the duties of grihasthas, is to produce children to be raised in Krishna consciousness. So that's the point, is we take it as either sex or no sex. No, what we're saying is sex without sense gratification. That doesn't mean, you know, burlap sacks like the Christians. Right? What we're meaning is it's not about sense gratification. Like that. If we're cooking for Krishna, do we cook properly? Does it have the proper flavors and spices and textures and, you know... Yes, I mean, but that's what we're trying for, the best of one's knowledge. Therefore, the sexual activity has the proper activities that generate enough enthusiasm that it generates actually conception. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if, let us say, you have a pot of yogurt and you're churning it. Okay, now if you churn it enough, with enough enthusiasm, what do you get?
Butter.
Now, if you don't put in enough enthusiasm, what do you get? Yeah, Butkus. You understand?
It sounds similar, but it,
huh?
It sounds similar, but it's not.
Yeah. You understand? So that's the whole point. Sexual activity means you're churning the body, pulling the semen out of all the organs of the body so that can be used in conception. So if you don't churn properly, you don't get the fluids, you don't get the conception. But because we identify it so much with sense gratification, we can't separate it. So it's not even a point you can discuss. We're discussing it. We've been doing this for 6 years. If I walked in cold into a temple and started talking like this, they would be freaking.
They won't invite you again.
No, they won't. Definitely not invite you again. You know, so that's the difficulty, is that you can't separate. Is that we're engaging the senses, but connected to the deity. So it's not like seeing the deity, sense how they are coming in contact. But it's not sense gratification. So in the same way, sex life is not sense gratification if it's according to the rules as followed. That's why we say follow rules. Mm-hmm. And then it's always, oh, what about this? Oh, it may fall apart because there's not enough sex life. The point is that sense gratification doesn't do anything good for anybody. Husband's interested in sense gratification. He can do it for a million years, he'll still want sense gratification. But if he follows it according to the Shastra, then, like Kardama Muni, I mean, the point is we're looking at sex life. No one's doing a better job than Kardama Muni. You know, he's way beyond anyone we're talking to, right? And so, he moves beyond because it's not sense gratification. But we take it, and so it's not sense gratification. It's like the Maya bodies. Therefore, the senses aren't engaged. And if the senses are engaged, it has to be sense gratification. We don't understand bhakti is engaging the senses to please the Lord. So there's a process. Krishna made the process. You have to follow the process. That's why there's rules. Yes? Yes, but he is not interested in doing it as service for Krishna. He is doing it as his duty, as a prajapati, as a grihastha, as a prajapati. So he's pious. But he's not interested that it's connected to the Lord. Right? He's not interested that his children become Krishna conscious, because Narada Muni comes along, makes his kids Krishna conscious, and he gets seriously bent out of shape. Twice, yes. Does this make sense? So, therefore, it's a whole different topic. You know, the area that we're dealing is so different. The perspective, that's why we're saying Priyavrata, he's a Paramahamsa. He has a wife, he has children.
Yeah.
Right? But he never leaves the Paramahamsa platform because he just sees, this is the mechanics for having children. I'm a king, I'm a grihastha, you're supposed to have children. Therefore, it does. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
And then the part that is part of the relationship, cultivates the relationship, also helps in this process, is all the preliminaries. That's the stuff we'll definitely label as Maya and throw out. And then the men wonder why they're not getting anywhere. Women don't really like them. You know, they're becoming cold. And they, you know, their desires aren't going away. So they're not following Shastra from any angle. Connecting it to Krishna, following all the preliminaries, following all the conclusion. Right? You go into the kitchen, you prepare. Then you cook. Then you serve, you eat, you clean up. It's a complete package. But men are thinking, we'll just go in, cook, and we're done. Right? So that's the problem. It's not following Shastra. You follow Shastra, it's complete. So Krishna gives a complete package. But you have to be able to deal with it without getting, you know, the jiggity. That makes sense? Yeah. So that's the difficulty, because it's not a conversation you can discuss. You know? In a culture that's totally into sex, you can't discuss sex. Yeah. But in a culture where you don't see sex, you actually could discuss this in the Indians. So you could discuss it. You know, it's only coming up here. We probably won't see it again. But it makes its appearance, so it makes it clear this is how it works.
Man should say it is like tapasya. It's part of tapasya.
it's a duty, and it has its form to be done. Just like cooking, you want to cook, you have to use the right utensils at the right time, you know, using the right methods and everything like that. So you do that, it works. So that's the point of dealing with it. It's a partnership between the husband and wife. That's why it says man and woman, not man and, you know, receptacle. You know, it's man and woman. So that means the nature of the man, the nature of the woman, that all has to be considered. And that being considered, then it all works nicely. Right? Because it says man and woman. Because what man does will make man happy. But unless you do what woman likes, then it won't make the woman happy. So when you say man and woman, that means the man has to be doing what makes the woman happy. How many men do that? You know, smart ones do, but most don't. That's the whole point. So that's why Vatsyayana says, if you do the things that makes the woman happy, the man will automatically be happy. But if you do the things that make the man happy, you will never in a million years make a woman happy. And then the man won't be happy because the woman's not happy. Man's definitely not going to be happy. And then it's all, well, she's this, she's frigid, she's this, blah, 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 blah. And like this. And it's just, it's insane. You hear the same thing over and over and over again. Why? Because this can't be discussed. It's sacrosanct, you know. Bring up the grahasa. So are you dealing with your wife? Is she happy? Of course, I know all the things. We have our things that we like to do and all that. And at the same time, she was simultaneously off with three guys. Not one, not two, three. And then here's the guy sitting there with full confidence, full attitude, telling me, no, but, you know, I'm doing great. I'm doing all the stuff she likes. Totally unaware. Totally. Absolutely totally. And then, what's the next statement that will come out of their mouth? You're a sannyasi. What would you know about this anyway? Says, okay, hey, great. I'm not the one with the wife off with three other guys. Hey, you know, so, you know, who's the bozo here? Right? Yeah? What to do? So, that's the whole point. It has to be discussed, but you can't discuss it. And then if you do discuss and get her, then it's all about this. Then that'll be the new thing. Everybody's, you know, just like the latest, whatever it is. People are into tattoos or, you know, however it is, earrings or, you know, whatever's the latest fad. Yeah. And so it's insane. So then better to not discuss it at all. You know? Yes. Kama Shastra is meant for devotees. Kama Shastra deals with everything to do with sex life and man-woman relationships. So, therefore, you pick and choose. Just like Ayurveda will mention that if you got a cold, you make an omelet out of sparrow eggs because it creates so much heat it will get rid of your cold. Or if you're really, you know, you're not into that, sleep at night with a very voluptuous woman because will create so much heat it will get rid of your cold. So now is that for us? No, so you have to use your brain. Huh? It depends. Depends upon if your wife is like that, then it's definitely for you. You know, but if it's not, then yes. Yeah, Trishun or yeah, something else is there. Socks and a hat, right? You know? You understand? So you have to know this whole thing. Oh, it's karma kanda. It's like that. If you take like that, then what about the for someone who says like that, what in their life is, I mean, how can they say everything they're doing is devotional? They have a house. Where's that from? They're married. They have sex. They have kids. They have money. Why is it this is all pure devotion? And if there's any rules regulating how they deal with their wife, their kids, that's all karmakanda. Devotion is engaging your senses in the Lord's service according to recommended activities. So here it is. If I engage my senses, how I feel like, then I call that devotional service. But if I have, but if I'm given the regulations, oh, that's karmakanda. Devotees never even heard of karmakanda, jnanakanda, bhakti, Vedic, Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. Guaranteed they never heard one of these words before they bumped into devotees. I can guarantee you 100%. Maybe one or two scholars down at, you know, Harvard and Yale, you know, who are into, you know, in Sanskrit and Indology, they've heard of a few of the words. But I guarantee you, anyone other than that has never heard of these words in their life and never would have. Prabhupada's given them to him. He gives them what's the definition. And now they're going to use those against Prabhupada's mission? That's chala dharma. That's cheating. Upadharma. Vidharma. Adharma. Right? The clever ones, that's chala dharma. Most aren't that clever. So. Yes, because they're going to follow. I mean, the point is you're already starting with accepting the Shastra without any doubt. That's before you even start samskaras. Who do you learn from? From a pure Brahmin. Right? You don't make anything up. People who don't follow the Shastra, you're not even supposed to have anything to do with them socially. You don't talk to them, you don't marry into them, you don't eat at their house, you don't do nothing with them. Right? So, that's as a basis. Then we're starting with authority, cleanliness, this, that. Then when it gets down to this point, when that's in the next chapters. That's later. You know, have devotees adjusted with marrying equal nature? You know what I'm saying? So Prabhupada says, use charts. How many devotees use charts? You know, Prabhupada says, the charts of the boy and girl are checked. Then the marriage is arranged. People go out and check each other out and check out how it works between the bed sheets, and then if it looks good, then they check the charts just for fun. And then when it doesn't work out, oh, then we're devotees, it doesn't matter. And I hear this again and again. I ask regularly, you know, for devotees, does it really matter, you know, because, you know. You look at it, these look good, check the charts. It's good, mine. If it's not good, hey, forget it. Check and make something else. Prabhupada tells about these things because they work. If we can't do what he's given us, how are we going to deal with Manu? Now Prabhupada mentions what Manu mentions about having kids. The only thing Manu mentions is that from day one, you know, when the cycle starts, you leave the first 4 days. And then therefore from the 5th day to the 16th day, you can use those days. Odd days are for girls, even days are for boys, but ultimately it's whoever produces more fluids, you'll get that gender. And if you don't produce enough fluids, you won't get a conception. And he just says, and you avoid the full moons, new moons, ashtamis. And for Brahmins, they leave out Chaturthi, or Chaturdasi, because that's specifically for Kshatriyas. And that's it. I didn't leave anything out. And Prabhupada already said these things. He just didn't mention about the Purnimas and that. You know what I'm saying? So they're just talking about... Prabhupada already in the Gita said Kama Shastra is for these things. Right? He mentions Manu, he mentions what it's for. He says Kama Shastra is for producing proper children. The people think Kama Shastra is how to enjoy yourself. It's not about how you enjoy yourself. People read it that way. You know, just like the material world is not meant for your enjoyment, it's meant to serve Krishna. But people read it that way. So therefore, then there's nothing, you can't deal with these things. You know, it's hard enough just, you know, pure devotion that Bhagavatam says, you know. Let alone, you know, Dharma, Artha, and Kama, Shastras. You know what I'm saying? So that's the problem. I mean, one devotee, I think it was in Alachua, was making this whole big scene. I can't remember when. I think it was in the 90s. About how, you know, quoting, you know, Kama Shastra and that, you know, having more than one wife, and his wife was into it. And it was a whole big scene. That is another first thing about it. You know? So that's the problem. That's as far as any discussions on it went. That's the problem. It requires material qualifications. Where do we get material qualifications? Only from bhakti. So it's not because I followed Manu or I followed Arta or followed Kama Shastra that I'm going to get the benefit. It's the tapasya. We don't have tapasya. Right? Other than, you know, girls out in miniskirts in the middle of winter. Okay, there's some tapasya. And they get results.
Accordingly.
Huh?
Accordingly,
yes. Accordingly. Yeah, the shorter the more results, right? Right? Yeah. So, but it's the tapasya. Right? Because in summertime they wear the short skirts, they're not getting any results. Because it's not, there's no tapasya. But it's tapasya in the mode of ignorance. So they get a result in ignorance. Therefore they attract some bozo who they would have been better off not attracting. You know? You're feeling lonely, better get a hamster or a parakeet, you know, than these guys.
Nowadays, computers solve all the problems.
Computers,
okay. It just keeps it easy.
Okay. You can just watch YouTube all day.
Yeah.
You know, Facebook, that's definitely all day.
Smriti.
Yeah.
Huh?
Smriti. Smriti, yes. Yeah, I'm not sure how smriti that is, but definitely, yeah. Yes. So does that make sense? So the point is these things have their place, Prabhupada said, but it's only being situated in devotional service we can use these things. You know, it's just like, let's say, oh, you know, okay, all these things. No, hey, I just found all these books on Indian cooking and this and that, and so we can get it. He'll probably just say, no, you just cook to please Krishna. If you're going to please Krishna, then you can get something from these recipe books. But if you just take the recipe books, then you'll turn into one of those cooks. I've seen it myself. Devotee, you have in there, you're trying to train, you know, how we'll use this and train the boys and this and that, and, you know, concepts of Ayurveda and all that. And, you know, they start getting into it, and it's going nicely, but eventually they get so much into it that they actually disappear as an Ayurvedic doctor. Like that. Huh? I'm not sure. They got more into Tibetan medicine, you know, which is based basically on the same kind of thing. But I don't know what happened to the guy. He's still there in Calcutta. But he had his own practice in Calcutta. You know what I'm saying? They just get so far into that they miss the devotional service. So when we say material knowledge, we mean any knowledge that, you know, that's not paravidya. So someone gets into Sanskrit, someone gets into Ayurveda, someone gets into astrology, into Vastu, you know, music, anything. Even though whether it's Vedic or non-Vedic, if you don't see it in connection to Krishna, you get distracted. Just one's a pious distraction, one's an impious distraction. Does that work? It's just a lack of determination in Krishna consciousness. Why did we join? Why are we here? You know, so if it's just because there's anxieties, this, that, when the anxieties go down, then we are susceptible to get distracted. Is that so? So it's basically up to the individual to make himself focused on Krishna consciousness. Then you'll take them off the bay leaf plants also, or?
Is it okay to be in sun or in the day?
She is plants, strangely enough, like sun. They also like plenty of water. So if they're nicely watered and they're in the sun, they do well. Like if that pot's always dripping, Tulsi grows very well in the summer. Because there's full heat, but there's full water. Like that. So that works very nicely. But if the pot is empty, but she's covered, then no water, no sun. Yeah. Does it work as good?
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Maybe, but if it's small enough, it's just when the sun is straight above, but as soon as it's at an angle, so from 11 to 1, if she's that's okay, but then the rest of the time, but this is, then it's too low, it's too...
There's one that will be taken care of all day.
Yeah, but so this isn't something you just leave it and go away. So it's, like, this is better. Better if you're worried, see that the pot's full.
Yeah,
so that's more important. Okay. Indulgence, sex enjoyment through sexual intercourse is not allowed by the Vedic principles. So the Vedic principles, it's not about sense enjoyment. It's about relationship. It's about producing a child, right? Because it's a cooperation between husband and wife to produce a child. Therefore, then it has to be cooperation in the relationship also. So whatever the Vedas mention aren't about sense gratification. Does that make sense? In this connection, it may be noted that if the American boys and girls engaged in the Krishna consciousness movement want to advance in Krishna consciousness to achieve the supreme benefit of loving service to the Lord, they should refrain from indulging in this faculty for sex life or facility. Therefore, we advise that one should at least refrain from illicit sex. Right? So that's the point. So therefore, we can see is by this statement, how is he defining illicit sex? Outside marriage. Yeah. So that means they may be the facility of sex life within marriage they're using, but they should definitely not go outside marriage. Right? And then when we say illicit sex, you know, in marriage, we're talking about that they're using systems and stuff that isn't recommended by Shastras. Does that make sense? So Shastra deals with all this. But nobody looks at these things. You know what I'm saying? Someone may be pious, might be natural, they deal nicely, they have a better relationship and all that, so they'll do fine. But in general, then it's not actually known.
No training.
Yeah. Therefore, we advise that one should at least refrain from illicit sex. Even if there are opportunities for sex life, one should voluntarily accept the limitation of having sex only for progeny, not for any other purpose. Right? So he's saying, he's bringing it back to the standard. Right? In other words, sex life is not meant for sense enjoyment. Right? It's meant for producing children. So therefore, if you want to advance nicely, then you give up the facility for sex life. Right? But at least, if not, then don't go into illicit sex. So no sex outside marriage. But you should try to bring it to the standard that it's only for progeny. Because that's the problem is that the modern concept of sex life is very limited. Very limited. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't include the whole range of emotional interaction and relationship and everything like that. You know, you see movies from the 40s, 50s, and they get more into that.
Yes.
But the modern movies is just, you know, what's it called? Something like Wham Bam, Thank You Man, Thank You Man, yeah. So that's it. So the whole it's being lost. So it's not even that they're even very good at this, you know.
You can even get that.
Yeah. So it's a sad. So that's the top. The top is only have sexual relationship only for progeny, and the bottom is don't have sex with someone other than your married spouse, and the spouse ideally should be. Yes, and here we're dealing with man and woman. Outside of that, that's out of the scope of this discussion. Yes. Does that make sense? But even there, if you're going to take that as your vow, you don't have sex outside of your relationship with whoever it is that you have.
Mm. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Though you can't, the progeny parts definitely you're not going to get to. But you don't go below that. In other words, it's if you go below that, then you're really going to get distracted from devotional service.
Yes.
If you stay within the married life, then you're going to at least have some restriction.
Mm-hmm.
So there's, once devotional service can progress. Does that make sense?
No, because of all this, it's
sorry? Is come compared to yajna, yes, because you're following rules, but you have to know what the rules are. Like if I want to do a yajna, I have to know what the yajna is, right? I need to know rules for cooking, I need to know rules for driving a car, I need to know rules for accounts, but sex is just whatever goes, so it's but it doesn't work, because if it would work so good, then why is it the marriages that are based on sex are falling apart? That's the problem. Yes, because everything else goes with it. So that's the point. It's a package. So people aren't taking the package. Okay. You understand? So it's like how Krishna doesn't get. You start off with what's the best. Best is just surrender, then follow the sadhana, then sakam karma yoga. If not, then karma yoga. If not, then just be a nice guy, and if not, then okay, then you can be a jnani, but better than that is, meditate, better than this is that, and best is devotional service. So Prabhupada's done that process.
Yes.
Yeah. He's taken it from what's the standard down to what's the minimum, and then back up to what's the standard. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So if that's, if even this was understood, devotees would have a lot less problem. Because devotees get guilty, this, that, because it's taken is that this one is that's just, it's all or nothing, and then we say Vedic, and then we're fanatics. It's like the Vedic does it, that's the standard, but there's also minimum. The Supreme Lord said, though the Supreme Personality of Godhead concluded, after you give birth to many hundreds and thousands of children, they will also be captivated by my illusory energy and will engage like you in sexual intercourse. But because of my mercy to you and them, they will also be able to give me presentations in devotion. So they'll be able to think of the Lord and do things in connection to the Lord, though it's not specifically for bhakti. But they'll be able to, just like he engaged in some devotion, in support of his karma, they will also be the same. So then that's good. It's better than nothing. It's a step. But, yes, that's that, but not the ones that he just gave the blessing for. Because those ones then became celibates and stepped out of the loop. Sukadeva Goswami continued, after the creator of the entire universe, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari, had spoken in this way in the presence of Prajapati Daksha, he immediately disappeared as if he were an object experienced in a dream. Okay, so then we'll stop here, and then today is Thursday.
Yeah.
Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada ki, Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Premanandini.